Welcome to Unity Fort Worth Online. We are a spiritual center of love and wisdom, affirming God's presence in our lives and reaching the larger community in ever-increasing circles of good.
Very nice. Thank you, Irene. The rest of the band, lovely stuff. That's a very spiritual song. I've never really listened to the lyrics quite so intently as I just did, and I realized, wow, that person obviously had seen the far distances, you know, it touched something spiritual. It's not just a classic song. It's also a spiritual song, and I love that. That's the cool thing, I think, about some of the songs we do here is you see them in a totally different light. Like we did Maybe I'm Amazed last week by Paul McCartney, and I've always seen that as a love song. But it's also a love song to God. And the way Peter sung it last week was in that light, and I felt the same thing today. It's great that spirituality is embedded everywhere, and that's really part of the message today, is that it's not to be found somewhere else, is it? Spirituality, the truth, the awakening, the awakened moment is always here, yeah? It's for us right now. You know, if we are likened a spiritual enlightenment to awakening, though, what follows from that? If we need to be awakened, we must be asleep, right? There's a sense that we are asleep in some way, and that's why we don't get the clear day experience, because somehow or other, we're asleep at the wheel of our vehicle, aren't we? We're not seeing things clearly. So in what ways might we be asleep? You know, we're not physically asleep, so therefore we're in some way mentally or spiritually asleep. How can you be asleep? Well, I think the first kind of asleep is we're unconscious. We're not aware of what's really going on, right? We're habituated to a certain way of living, but we're not aware of the whole ball of wax. And sometimes we don't want to be because it's too scary. You know, I'm happy to live my little life. But into every little humdrum life comes the moment where it says, there's got to be more. And if we weren't having that experience, we wouldn't be here, I don't believe. All of us have wanted that more. What is this that's more than just the unconscious just going through life? If you're asleep, you're also dreaming. And that's part of what many of the masters and teachers have talked about, that life is but a dream, yes? We row in our boat down, but we're in a dream. And it's the idea that dreams could be nice, or they can be nasty, but dreams are not reality, yeah? We have to wake up from the dream. So we can be unconscious, we can be dreaming. Another form of asleep is trance, isn't it? We're in a trance. We've been mesmerized by our conditioning, and most of us are. We're mesmerized by what went on before, you know, what our parents told us, what society tells us. It's really hard to step out and be you without all the conditioning of the past. So we're in a sort of a trance-like state. And we dare not step out of line because somebody will tell us we're wrong, you know. And so I better stay in my little box. So that's another form of being asleep. What about autopilot? Have you ever noticed you can go for days and then you'll wake up and think, what happened, you know? You go on autopilot. We do the same thing every day, so we become used to it. We're not even thinking. Scariest thing is when you go on autopilot when you're driving. And then 10 minutes later, you realize, wait a minute. Because you've sort of zoned out. Luckily, your reptile brain or whatever it is that manages to keep us going is still doing its thing, you know. But we were somewhere else. So that's autopilot. And then we are creatures of habit, aren't we? So we tend to live from our habits and don't question them, right? And so we always have the habitual response. And it's even wears lines down in your cranium, into your brain, right? Where you have those neural pathways where if we say something, we always go to it. Listen, I love rock music, okay? But I got to tell a story first about my grandmother. My grandmother died of Alzheimer's years ago, and she always quoted Shakespeare. You know, she was born at the turn of the 20th century, and so what was imbued in her was little bits of Shakespeare. So by the end of her life, she couldn't talk or anything, but she still knew a Shakespeare. So you'd talk to her, and she'd go, you know, once more into the breach, dear friends, and all this. And all these phrases that would come out. but they were automatic, you know. She wasn't really thinking them. They were habitual. And, okay, so I'm worried now because every time I think a word comes to me, a rock song pops out. So I think, oh, my God, am I going down the same neural pathway? It's just rock music is my deal. So I got to fight this. So I got to keep expanding because I just don't want to go into the a doddering old Alzheimer person who can only quote rock lyrics. That would be sad. Yeah, see what happened to Paul? Oh, so sad. Yeah, all right. So we're not fully cognizant, in other words, of all the various things that from dreaming, from habitual responses, through all the other ways that we turn ourselves off, basically. We, you know, Led Zeppelin was right. There's one rock reference. We are dazed and confused. Scientists also tell us what? We use only a small percentage of our brains on any given day, maybe less than 5%. We have this amazing faculty, but we use just a tiny, tiny bit of it. I don't think there's anything wrong with that. That just means there's room for expansion. But it's amazing that we're only using a little bit of our capabilities, right, that the God has given us. And I think that's pretty amazing. We tune out to what we don't want to see or hear, yeah? And we have to do that. We have to filter because if we took in everything that was coming at us, we'd be overwhelmed. So there has to be a filter. But the message of spirituality is to open the doorway a little more, right? If the doors, as William Blake says, if the doors of perception were opened and cleansed and the windows of our soul were cleansed, we would see the world as it is, infinite. Yeah, that we would see the reality. That's what we're talking about by awakening. So who do we take ourselves to be? Generally, because I know we're good Unity students, so we're going to say immediately, child of God, and that's great. But do we remember to be children of God most of the time? Often we take ourselves to be everything else but, don't we? We take ourselves to be a man or a woman. We take ourselves to be a person with a certain job, my role. What else might we take ourselves to be? We identify with a parent, from my past, I identify with my family structure. I identify with my emotions, perhaps, with my habits, as we said earlier, and my thoughts. Even when I say, or age, yes, we buy into that paradigm. Even when I say I'm a child of God, often it's not a direct experience, it is a thought in my head. Because I like that idea, oh yeah, I'm a child of God, but it's not a direct experience of being a child of God, right? So to awaken, we have to awaken beyond thoughts about ourselves or ideas about ourselves or even our emotions or our habits or our identifications of who we think we are and instead have a direct experience of reality. Now, that's a big question, isn't it? Have a direct experience of reality. How do we do that? So that doesn't work for you then? Yeah. Yes. Very good. Yes. Very good. You got to my next point. So, yeah, excellent. Three of the greatest words you can ever ask yourself, right? Who am I? And all the great masters, again, both in the West and the East, have said this. These are the three most important words we can ask ourselves. And modern psychotherapists ask the same thing. You know, who am I? Ramana Maharshi, one of the great saints of India back in the early 20th century, asked the question, who am I? These are the most important words that we can ever ask. And we have to trace it back beyond all the identifications we just talked about, right? Because if we say, oh, I'm a dad, or I'm old, or I'm not feeling good, all these things are relatively true, but they're not the reality of our being because they change, you know? I'm not always going to feel irritable. I'm not always going to feel a certain way about something. the things that worked for me yesterday, like I'm a child of God, may not work today because I want to go deeper than that. So we have to pursue it deeper. In that context, look at the quote that's on your bulletin, will you? I'll read it. And this is from Ken Wilber. I've been reading a little bit of Ken Wilber this week. He says, truly adopting a new holistic philosophy, believing in Gaia, or even thinking in integral terms. And when he says integral, he means holistic. Everything is part of the whole, which we believe in unity, right? So even adopting a new unity idea that we are one, and even thinking in integral terms that everything's connected, however important those might be, they are the least important when it comes to spiritual transformation. Finding out who believes in all those things, there is the doorway to God, right? Finding out who believes. Who am I that believes all these things, right? Not the things themselves, but who am I? And it is the very doorway of God, says Ken Wilber, and I would agree with him. And I want to read some more of what he says. Talking about Ramana Maharshi and his technique of self-inquiry. And I invite you to do this too, and you may have already done this in the past. Ask that question, who am I, right? And strip down the layers of who we think we are and what we might be on any given day to the core of who we are, because that's what's going to free us and awaken us. Okay, he says, how does this self-inquiry work? Let us suppose, for example, that I ask you, who are you? And you reply, well, I'm so-and-so. I work at this particular job. I'm married, and I am of such and such religion. Is that what you mean? No, I would answer. Those are all objects of perception. They are mere ideas. Who are you that sees these objects, these ideas? Well, I'm a human being, an individual organism endowed with certain biological faculties. Is that closer? Not really. I would have to counter, for those are still ideas and thoughts. Now, deeply, who are you? As your mind keeps turning back in on itself in search of the answer, it gets quieter and quieter. If I kept asking, who are you, who are you, you would quickly enter into mental silence. That object-less silence produced by active attention, by vigilant watchfulness, by intense inquiry, is awakening. For right at the point where no mental answer, image, or object is forthcoming, you are open to seeing the real in a flash. Isn't that the way it comes? It often comes in a flash, you know. St. Paul said it comes in the twinkling of an eye, right? We might be working a long time on this, but when we finally let go of all the other stuff, and stop identifying with it and remembering who we really are, boom, then we're awakened, right? It's a momently infinitesimal and yet eternal experience, isn't it? That moment of awakening to who we are. And what are some of the characteristics of that moment? From the inklings that I've had, I can say that in that moment, nothing needs to be added. Right? In that moment, I'm home free. In that moment, I want to laugh and rejoice because I realize I've been worrying and fussing over nothing. Right? And even my worst problems are nothing compared to that reality that's deep at the core of me. Yeah. What else? You got an inkling? Okay, time and space disappear because time and space are the constructs of living in this way of thinking, right? But once that's gone, we're in a timeless moment. Yeah. Right. Expanded connection. And in my experience, a delight to be kind and compassionate. Isn't this what Jesus demonstrated? Jesus' love was infinite because he discovered the infinity within himself. He discovered who he was. Yeah. And he understood that the Father and I a one. All he was saying was, we're a unity. We're integrated. There's no separation. And he wasn't trying to say, listen, I'm so special now. He was saying, I've discovered the unity. You can too. Right? So it's a disservice, I think, to Jesus to think that he's the only one. He would laugh us out of court if that was the case. He'd want us to know that we are the one too, right? Because there is only, in reality, the one. And we're waking up to that vastness. What? Okay. Somebody's having a conversation in the back there. Okay. Meanwhile, life goes on. We're talking about these incredibly profound things. Incredibly. Ramana Maharshi said this. Get your head around this one. He says, the world is illusory. I can buy into that. It's not an illusion. It's illusory. It's you can't trust it to be what it think it's, we think it is. God alone is real. Okay. I can get into those two. The world is illusory. God alone is real. But here's the difficult one. God is the world. The world is illusory. God alone is real. God is the world. Well, does that mean that God is illusory? No, it means that God shines through the world, but don't be distracted by the world, right? Be in the world, but not of the world. In other words, you're not going to find enlightenment outside of what is already here. After the ecstasy, the laundry. You know, we know this. It's in the same thing. You know, it's not like just because we've had ecstasy, we don't have to go back to our ordinary everyday lives. We do. But we go back with a different awareness, don't we? A different viewpoint. Wilbur gives us a little encouragement here. He says, if, on understanding this and listening to this, if you think you don't understand the truth of yourself or spirit, then rest in that which doesn't understand, and just that is spirit. If you think you don't quite get the self or spirit, then rest in that which doesn't quite get it, and just that is spirit. In other words, the you that watches you not get it is spirit. So instead of identifying with, I don't get this, well, who is it that doesn't get this? Not you. The spirit is still there observing you not get it. So you see what I'm saying? So it's cool, isn't it? So we can just relax and know that whatever's going on is okay. We don't have to be pushing this. You don't push the river in terms of awakening. You just relax into what's possible. So let's sum up if any of this made any kind of sense, because I know it's kind of abstruse, deep stuff, but what can we take away? What's our take home from this way of thinking, this inquiry into who we are? Right. Okay. So you're always asking, who am I? I don't get it. Uh-huh. Right. It's like being in San Francisco and asking somebody, how do I get to San Francisco? You're already there, right? And so it doesn't make sense to ask, how do I get to San Francisco? You're already there. And so it's a waking up to the fact that, oh, I thought I didn't understand, but I'm already here. I'm already with, it's already within me. I'm already whole and free. Nothing needs to be added. What else? What else are we taking home? I hope there's something. Right. Which are that declaration of our dream state, our sleep state, our need to come, you know, back in this, you know, archetypal battle between this dumbness. This sleep state, yeah. Unawakened. Right. Right. So what I'm here, yeah. Uh-huh. Zombie-like nature. Yeah. So we're asked to embrace our inner zombie, folks. embrace those parts of you that are not attuned to the reality of the universe, right? And to let that be okay. Instead of resisting them and giving them power, simply embrace them and knowing that whatever's going on is okay. It's leading us to this moment. As we said a few weeks ago, God is conspiring to bring us into this higher awareness. What else? Molly, you had something. Right. And the fact that I am a dad, or I am a certain age, or I have a preference in the things I like to eat, is fine. I don't have to get rid of those things. I just don't have to identify them as the reality of my being. That's the point here. I can be a better dad when I realize who I truly am. I can go back into my world and do that better. But if I have to have it a certain way, if my role determines who I am, then I'm limited. That's all we're saying. We're not saying we must give up all these things. These are part and parcel of who we are. They're valid, all these things in us. Our roles, our emotions, the things we don't get, the things we do get, all is valid. The point is, contact that stillness. When we let go of identification, we end up with that stillness that Molly's talking about, which is what we talk about and practice in unity all the time, isn't it? The silence, right? It's that silent place. Then we can return from that place with a renewed vigor, because we're no longer identifying with nonsense, basically, with all the things that are around that. Just as we change clothes, so we change roles. That's not the reality. The reality is deep, deeper than that, deep within us. Yes. Yes. Right. Right. Good. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, that could work, but that doesn't necessarily guarantee that you're going to be free, but simplifying is good, yeah. Don't get lost in the routine, right? Be an observer of that, but not conditioned by it. That's what we're talking about, right? Remember that stillness that's deep within us. Right, let's just sum this up. I want to just... Miriam's going to lead us in a meditation, but I just want us to get still for a moment in the prelude to that. And just let those ideas that have come out today drop down deep within us. And know that there is that place of stillness deep within us. And as I said, Miriam will probably lead us into that a little more deeply. And that reality, when we contact it, when we allow it to be, when we relax into it, will illuminate everything else and show it in its perfect light. So that whatever happens to us, we can deal with it with grace and effortless ease. So we affirm that we can take this awareness now with us into our week. And whatever happens to us, when we remember that inner core of stillness, that essential freedom, then we bring a new light to everything we do. May that be the case. Thank you, God. So it is. Thank you.
Thank you for listening. This ministry is funded through the generous contributions of individuals just like you. If you have found spiritual enrichment here, please visit us online at www.unityfortworth.org and make a donation. We thank you for your contribution and affirm with you. Divine love flowing through us blesses and multiplies all that we give and all that we receive.